Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Greg Idala. And Greg is here to talk about the article in the Times Union a few days ago that the city of Albany is adding more police to their force. I think that cops might be good, but I don't think that's the way to solve all the problems in the city. So, Greg, what's your feeling?
Well, good morning, Cynthia, and thanks for having me back on your program here. If your listeners don't know, I did the video recently a couple months ago with the video that went viral in regards to a murder that occurred in front of our family business, Aquel Auto Sales, earlier this year. And from there, it's landed me meetings with the mayor and the police chief, acting chief, Chief Sears, who I think is a great guy. So thanks again for having me on. So here's my take on it. I don't think there's enough accountability from City Hall. Here's what I mean by this. I think adding more presence with police is actually a necessity in the city of Albany. It's in a real, real tough spot right now. The urban areas is full of plight. There are absentee landlords, and there is really no accountability from City Hall to really drop the hammer on these landlords, okay, to clean up their properties. And I've said it before, garbage promotes chaos, beauty promotes hope. And I think that when you have those types of approaches within a city or any type of community, it empowers people to take a little bit more pride. That takes the stress off the police. Albany does not have that. So Albany needs all the help it can get. I'm not saying that more cops are going to be the panacea, but something is drastically needed to try to curb the violence that is happening in the city of Albany. And we have to come up with different programs that when these, you know, people are arrested, are in trouble, they have to, I would suggest more community service. You know, not just sitting in a jail or anything of that nature, but try to rehabilitate some of these people, get them on a good path, excuse me, and give back to the community in a positive way. I think, you know, last week I was one of 25 people invited to police headquarters in Albany, and they had the International Association Chief of Police come in. And Albany was one of four cities chosen throughout the country to have a program of this to hear what is really needed in communities. And when it was my chance to speak, I got a lot of positive feedback by these, you know, this association agreeing that people have to really help the police by policing their own communities. You know, they really have to let the police know what's going on, if something's going wrong in their community. Just don't sit back and assume that the cops are going to know everything and be there all the time. And, you know, some people don't want to do that. They want to turn a blind eye, because I know, because sometimes there's an element of threat that they might encounter. But I think it's a necessity, and people have to be more vocal and talk more. And that's where I think that sense of civic minded and community comes into place, to where we're all quote unquote, offshoots of the police to help them to get the criminals and to get, you know, the drugs off the streets the best as possible, because a lot of that stuff's not going to go away. You know, it's someday we might have world peace, but we're never going to have street peace. And that's a quote from my grandfather. He gave me when I was a teenager, and my grandfather came from Sicily, Italy. I take that quote to heart because I believe in that, but I also believe that we can quell some of this violence with more action. And if, quite honestly, Cynthia, at this point, I think added cops are going to help, because they're just so strapped. There's a lot of stuff the Albany cops can't do from City Hall, and that's not right. Their hands are tied on many issues, and we've got to get a work. Uh-huh. These guys, you know, everyone complains about, and I don't care if you're black, white, Asian, or Puerto Rican. If the cops are coming to your neighborhood and they keep coming back, you guys are doing something wrong. Something wrong is going on. That has to be fixed. So I'm really tired of this whole, it's a black-white thing. Puerto Rican thing. No, because honestly, we're all in this together. If you truly believe that, then get on board and try to help your neighbor.
Now, you said that there's violence in the city of Albany. Can you describe and outline what that violence is?
Sure. What I've read and what I've encountered, a lot of it is over drugs. And a lot of it, Cynthia, you know, that murder that occurred in front of our business in January, that was over marijuana. I mean, marijuana, for crying out loud. This state and these cities can't figure out what the hell they want to do with it, if they want to legalize it or not. Make up your mind, because everyone knows pretty much. And I'm not condoning marijuana use. I'm not saying that at all. But facts are facts. Alcohol is much worse for your body than marijuana, and alcohol is legal. And the reason it's legal is because government is making a ton of money off taxes. They just don't know how to handle it, and how are we going to be responsible with it if legalization of marijuana, which I do agree. I mean, I think that's the position we're at right now. How are we responsible as a community if we legalize marijuana? But we keep chasing our tails and what we're going to do. I think, you know, and I'm not saying that, hey, if you legalize marijuana, all street crime is going to go away, because, you know, those dealers will, you know, possibly take up selling cocaine or crack and, to make quick money, and they can make a lot of money. I had one ward member come up and talk to me a month and a half ago, and he's a young ward member. I give him a lot of credit. I think he's a little naive, a little bit. He had said, what we need to do is get these drug dealers off the street and get them jobs. And I said, I said, good luck with that. I said, go up to this drug dealer and tell him to go work at Home Depot for $12 an hour and take home $400 a week before taxes, because he's probably making $5 to $1,000 a day, and he's not going to give that up. So that's a real concern right there. So we've got to get these kids young, and that's where it starts. I mean, the kids on the street, their parents are – they're absentee parenting. And I don't care what color you are, again. I see it black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian. It doesn't matter. And it's all systemic. And it's been going on before my time. It's been going on before your time. And it really needs to stop. I said it last time in our conversation, and this is just my viewpoint of it. There has to be – it just really comes back to accountability. And – that everyone in this world needs help at some time, myself included. That could be financially, emotionally, I understand that. But when we have these systems set up to where people are living off the government, aka our tax dollars, for years upon years upon years, that has to stop. Because I would suggest that, listen, if you need help, we're going to give you 1 year of funding and housing to get you on your feet. But after 1 year, you're on your own, period. We can't keep doing this, because no one's getting any better. We're actually dividing each other more. That's the way I feel about it. So I think the crime, Cynthia, you know, hey, look, I mean, you read the papers, you know, just had another shooting in Albany last week. Another shooting. And there's been between 6 and 8 shootings. Forgive me, I don't know that correct number. But it's up there already. That's what we're in June. That's one a month. That is just too many. And it's all over drugs. And if they're not shooting, Cynthia, if you read the paper, you know what they're doing. I know that you're a reader. I'm saying more to your audience. What they're looking for, or rather what they're doing, is stabbing. They're going back to knives. So, you know, it's a lot of it's over drugs and territory. And it's all about a quick fix. And it's not – there's no longevity in that. And it's just not going to go away until we really address it. And I mean address it to where – and this is what I mean about getting back to help – you know, the community has to help police. We really have to hold all businesses, landowners, accountable for their property. Because – and I said this to the mayor. I said, when you don't drop the hammer and clean up these areas, why would these people care? And this is what I said to her. I said, look, if you, City Hall, show the people, if you show that you don't care to the landlord, well, the landlord doesn't care. Well, then the person who rents it doesn't care. And that person with children sees this whole line of people not caring, how do you think that person's going to grow up? They're going to grow up in a non-caring environment. And it all starts with that. And that is that's accountability. I mean, people need to grow up and understand that, look, we can't help everyone forever. You cannot do that. It's too narcotic of a government, and it's been going on across the United States for far too long. And I think that Albany is in a good position to maybe be the front runner on trying to change these things. If the mayor would get off her high horse and out of the ivory tower and start directly dealing with this stuff and dropping the hammer. And to get back to your point about with the cops, also that came up in this conversation last week is this. If you read yesterday, Chief Sears is stepping down. He's retiring next month.
Right.
That is a huge
right.
That's a huge loss, Cynthia. That is a huge loss. And I'll tell you a couple points why, in my opinion. Number one, I've met him. Three times I've had meetings with him. And he really cares. In fact, the initiative that I was part of with the International Association of Chiefs last week, okay, he was the first city in the entire United States to reach out to them and say, we need a program here because we have to get stuff straightened out. He was the first one out of the entire United States. Out of 18,000 chiefs in the United States, actually, yeah, in the United States, he took it. He said, we need help here. So I think with him retiring, either he's fed up, he's put his 20 years in, and everyone wants a change, or he's getting pushed out, I don't know. But that's going to be the third chief, as you know, within, 10 years? That is not a good sign right there, because there's no sign of trust. You can't keep moving these chiefs around. And they're talking about, Cynthia, they're talking about hiring a chief that's not even from the area. Are you kidding me? What is that person going to care? It shows, Kathy Sheehan's from Chicago. How much does she really care? It shows. She doesn't. You know, these people leave so much money on the table by not holding these landowners accountable for their property or dilapidated buildings and fining them for not keeping them up. And yet every year Albany begs for $12 million and up and up and up to try to get the city on track. It is garbage. It's time for a serious change. And, you know, and Albany needs to be more open to business and industry, because that is what's going to save these upstate cities. It's not just – and I have friends that own bar and restaurants, and they are really trying hard and contributing, and that's great. But these cities need industry. And it's not going to work when you have these – these types of ways, it's my way or no way. That's wrong. You work for the city. It's not the other way around. And like I said, Cynthia, you're one of the few people I know that really truly cares about Albany. And that's tough. You know, I myself care. You know, we have interest with our business and our safety, which is paramount. It is so layered. But I really feel that if everyone sits down collectively, and instead of being biased and we want this and we want that, really work as a team, I think Albany can turn the page and really get back on track of being this all-America city that it once was.
Yeah, I'm originally from Long Island, but I was born in Queens. I grew up on Long Island, and I moved here in the Capital District in the early 80s. Well, from me moving up here and, you know, working in Albany and seeing Albany, I was just awestruck by the buildings, the history, you know, the government here, you know, the state capital. And I'm thinking, this has to be preserved. This is a treasure. And I don't see anybody embracing the concept of treasure like I do.
Well, I agree with you on that, Cynthia, 100%. The architecture is great. It's got rich history. That being said, the whole city mind shift has to start moving forward, because it romanticizes the past too often. And that's not a bad thing. You know, it's okay to romanticize and say, you know, this is where we're at. But Albany needs to start getting involved in 2018 and really get down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, we talked about this last time, that this, you know, the mayor was worried about Albany being a sanctuary city. They wanted to take in people and say, no, come to Albany, we'll help you out. Well, you can't even take care of the people that you have now.
Right.
I mean, that's absurd. That is absurd. And I really, I had a good point to get back to your point about the architecture and everything. Oh, forgive me, it slipped my mind. I'm sorry.
Checking.
I'm sorry about that. Oh, darn it. Sorry to you and your audience. Darn. I can't recall. I'm sorry about that. It was, yeah, sorry.
Okay. But, you know, the sometimes, you know, I drive around Albany with friends, and I go up around St. Peter's area, St. Peter's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And the housing is, I mean, they're kept nice. They're, mm-hmm. The lawns are wonderful. And then when you go, like, go down towards downtown, like, around, like, Clinton Street and stuff, I mean, these people probably take pride in their neighborhoods,
yeah.
But it's not the same. And I'm thinking, you know, a tale of two cities. Albany is a tale of two cities. Greg,
Cynthia,
are you there?
I missed all. Yep, it broke up. I'm going to have to hear that all one more time.
I said sometimes driving around Albany with friends, if I go around the St. Peter Hospital area, you know, the lawns are well manicured, the housing is nice, people take pride in their, you know, in their residence. And when you go down maybe like to Clinton Street, you know, it's not as beautiful as uptown. So when you see, you know, Clinton Street and that area, and then you see New Scotland area, it's a tale of two cities. And I had recently gone to a Chamber of Commerce event with Kathy Sheehan, and the mayor kept saying how wonderful everything is going in Albany. So I threw a lot at you. What would you say to that?
No, not everything is beautiful. It's all smoke and mirrors. And I'm not saying, look, I'm not saying that I know all the answers. I don't want to try to come off like a loudmouth. I don't. I like the same thing I'm telling you. I said to the mayor and the chief, I said, I'm willing to help out and meet in the middle. And I'll be honest with you, Sin. I made that video. I got that meeting with the mayor and the chief of police. She said to me, in front with my father and the chief of police, that her office would be in touch with me in 2 weeks because they like my ideas and how I can help them. I haven't heard one thing from them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thing. So I'm working on another installment of a series of videos, okay, because I'm at my tether with this nonsense. So here's how I look at it, okay? There, in my look, I'm not saying it's an easy job. There's a lot to deal with, okay? But they're not hitting it head on, and they're not being truthful with themselves. So they're lying to themselves, and they're lying to the city, point blank. Everyone knows, if you drive down these streets, the state of the city is not good at all. How can the state of the city be good when it's an absolute bankrupt city and you're begging for literally begging for $12 million every year just to balance your budget, when, in fact, if you start dropping the hammer to gain, you know, monies back from these absentee landlords and landowners and find them. I don't know if your audience knows this, but in Albany, if you own a piece of property and you don't maintain it, the yearly fine is $250. With that low of a fine, who would pay that? It's ridiculous. I brought this up to the mayor because this was in print in the Times Union, and the mayor was part of this article 2 months ago. And I said, you need to drop the hammer. Fine these people $5,000 a month. Just drop the hammer. Start getting some of these monies that these people are just letting everything go. It's not fair. So when you've got uptown, downtown, you know, uptown is a beautiful area. You know, you go up in that Pine Hill section, those homes like you speak of, they're manicured, they're beautiful, people have pride. When you come down more urban, you know, a lot of these people have no income, or if they're living off the government, that's a big concern right there. And quite honestly, you know, these people don't care. And why should they? Why should they care when they're getting free money every week and the city doesn't care? They live in filth. The city doesn't clean up. It's ridiculous. There's no sign of hope for these people whatsoever. So when she says everything's great, it's all smoke and mirrors. Everyone who knows and can read between the lines knows it's a lie. It's a lie. And it's all – when you got I believe we spoke of this last time we talked that, you know, Kathy Sheehan won the last election with 7,500 votes out of a city of 98,000 people. That's atrocious turnout. That's atrocious. That saying right there, that should tell you – there's a huge red flag that everything is not okay. Now, I'm not saying there's not good things in Albany. I don't want anyone to, you know, think I'm all negative, because I'm more positive than anything. I just think that all this negativity is surfacing recently because they've got a real problem on their hand that they've kept ignoring. And it's just like anything else. They're not running it like a business. They're letting emotions get involved. That can't happen. Running a city is like running a business, period. And you have to drop the hammer and really kick some ass. Excuse my language sometimes. You really have to. And they're not doing it because they don't have the right people. They're inefficient, and it's all smoke and mirrors. And I'm sorry if that hurts anyone's feelings, but that's how I truly feel about it.
But there's more to it than that, Greg. You're outspoken, and you're not afraid to, you know, say something that you see is wrong. Mm-hmm. In this city, there are so few people that are willing to step up to the plate and do what you're doing. And I'll give you a good example. I know that Albany has a problem with race relations.
Mm-hmm.
And I have asked a number of black people to come on my show and talk about what's wrong and how can we solve these problems. There's not one person that is willing to step up to the plate, come on Focus on Albany, and address the issues that people in this community are facing. I'm not talking the black community. They won't do it. So if they're silent, how do you solve the problem?
Well, let me answer that on because of my most recent meeting, and this took place a week ago. I'm not getting an exact date. It was Monday, June 18th in Albany, and that was the International Association Chief of Police, okay? And there were activists there, like Alice Green. I'm sure you're familiar with her name. There was the NAACP leader, and who I've met before. She's a pleasant woman. She watched my video and said, Greg, I wish more people would be proactive like yourself. And, you know, this is what I heard, okay, from a couple, not the NAACP, but there were a couple people, activists, that I think that are doing more damage than good to their race. And it was, quite honestly, it was the black leaders. And all they kept harping on was blacks are being targeted, cops don't like black people, and it just went on and on and on. And I said, there's something wrong there, because it's not all cops, and it's not all black people that are doing crime. It's not. But we can't lie and say that that's not the majority, because it's happening everywhere in the United States. So these black leaders that I hear nationally, and I've spoken to them, that when they do that, and they just – I think it hurts – I don't think it lifts their race up. I think it divides their race. And I said it in this meeting in front of all those activists. I said, I was brought up not to see colors. I still don't see people of colors. I don't. And I don't think they want to talk because, and I can't speak on their behalf, but it's just what I've learned and read and listened over the years, is because they feel nothing is being done. They're never heard. Well, I could go on that too and say, listen, I've said stuff that, you know, it falls on deaf ears 100%. I made this video, went viral, lands me in the Times Union, and I get interviewed by CBS and ABC. Still, after all that, City Hall doesn't reach out to me, and I'm a white guy. So it's not just what color you are. I don't feel the black, like I said, the black community wants to talk. I don't know why they should. To someone like you, they should definitely reach out and get involved. I think everyone can learn from each other on both sides 100% and come together as one. I think there's a lot of and this is what I've learned in meetings, that the black community is scared to talk because of possible threats. You know, if they talk on behalf of, you know, hey, this gang or that gang or this person or that person, even without naming names, and it gets back, their life might be threatened. Well, at some point, you got to get off the sidelines and get into the game if you want some serious change. You're going to have to take that risk. And, you know, to get back to what you said about, you know, Albany and I think there's a huge trust factor. Because let's face it, there's no identity in Albany outside of politics. If you get outside of Albany, anywhere in this state, it tends to be a little bit more freer. But everything is wrapped and ensconced in politics here, so it gets clouded and nothing gets done. And I think, at least I feel, that there's no trust. I mean, Albany, like you said, Albany says, oh, the city's doing great. No, it's not. There's great parts, but we're in real trouble. And I think that a lot of people don't speak up, Cynthia, at least when I talk to, especially since I got all this coverage the past couple of months, that they're so tired of the lies that, you know, in other words, Albany feeds them all these lies, and then everyone's tired of getting the rug pulled out from underneath them. And it just goes on and on and on. Everything, you know, there's nothing that's coming in that is saying, look, we need to take a hard look at it and we need to continue it. And that takes years. It's not just one time. It's going to take years of commitment from the elected officials and the community. And elected officials be held accountable for what they say they're going to do, period. They cannot keep changing their mind and doing that. That's not their job. Their job is an elected official by the people, and you're paid by us. You work for us. And we need as a country to get back on to that level, because it's got flip-flopped somewhere, you know, along the lines that we work for them. And that is incorrect and the farthest thing from the truth. And Albany is not that big of a city. It's a very small city, and it's manageable.
Right.
And I just think that we need to start educating people better and empowering. And I hear that all the time from City Hall. This is what we have to do. Cynthia, I offered that. I said I would come down to these meetings. I would meet with local kids. I'm a certified life coach. I would sit and talk with them. I haven't heard anything from City Hall. And here's me trying to offer help free of charge. And I'm not getting any response. And our family's been doing business for 75 years. How do you think these people, you know, black, white, Puerto Rican, or Chinese, you know, in these communities, how do you think they feel? They don't have a voice at all. I have a voice and a platform, and I'm still getting nowhere.
Going back to my argument that we are, you know, the state capital.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody comes to New York City, maybe Long Island, maybe the western part of the state, maybe other places upstate, Albany should be a go-to area. We have the state capital. We're rich in history, but yet nothing is here to attract anybody, you know, except, of course, the the Capitol, the building of the Capitol, but there's nothing here to draw people here. It's not a magnet that people say, I want to go to Albany because so much is going on and it's a great city. There's nothing like that here.
No, there's not. And that goes back to there's no identity outside of politics. So, in other words, when everyone thinks of Albany, they go, oh, it's the capital, it's all politics. So they all play this giant game. And look, I'll be honest with you. When I'm in Albany and I have friends coming in from out of town, do you know where I go with them? I take them to Saratoga because I don't know where to take them in Albany. I truly don't. And,
wow,
you know, there's great history and the buildings, and some of those people know that. But if they want nightlife, you know, I have to go to Saratoga. And I'm familiar with Saratoga because I've worked up there. My mother's family was from Saratoga, so I've always had a special place for Saratoga in my heart. But, you know, you can't, and I agree with you, there's nothing here. But there's no trust. Look, Albany, I think I may have said this before. Albany is like a child in this way, where Albany wants new toys, but they don't play with their old toys. And they always say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. No, they don't. They can't even decide on what they're going to do, like a jigsaw puzzle. I'll give you an example of that. One of the best attributes that this city has is built on the water. Now, 787 was a horrible idea. And those Corning years, I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody that says Corning was good for this city. I think he was not. Did he do good things? He may have, but it was so corrupt that it wasn't good at all. And so they can still build on that waterfront because you can go to any city planner and any city, United States, you build from the water back, okay? So if anyone listening, go down to Kingston, New York, go down to Newburgh, and Newburgh's a tough city, but go down to their waterfront. It's gorgeous. They invested in their waterfront and people visit it. I know it. I've been there. And this city constantly gives nothing to offer. Nothing. You have to drive in. There's, you know, what are families going to do? What do families do? You got a family. What do you do? There's nothing to do. Walk the streets.
Right.
That's going to be done in about 5 minutes. You go to Saratoga, you can take your family there, and then you've got the city, and you've got the park, you've got SPAC, you can see an event. And it's life. You don't feel threatened. You know, I was on a board at the Palace. I was on a committee. And the one thing that people used to tell me is, I don't feel safe going to Albany. That's a big concern. You know, Schenectady's really built up. I performed at Proctor's, and Schenectady's built up their downtown to where there's eateries, and people feel safe. You know, this is another thing too, Cynthia, okay? I really, truly feel that Albany, Schenectady, Troy, and Saratoga need to work together better. It should be one big community. There's so much tit for tat, and everyone's, you know, fighting, and even Rensselaer County. Everyone work together, and I'll bet we'll have such a stronger community with clearer minds, clearer thinking, more sense of family. People will be excited. They'll feel that their voices are being heard. They'll feel safe. They feel they can contribute more. And there's more reason, because of what a lot of people don't – we haven't even discussed it. But, you know, remember, these children will grow up. And do you want them staying here? Or do you want them to leave for good? Because there's a lot of people exiting and not coming back. And that's a real concern. That's a real concern. So I didn't mean to sound disjointed there if I did. But.
That's okay. We're almost out of time, but I have an important question to ask you.
Sure.
You're outspoken, and you say it like you see it. Have you considered running for office yourself?
Here's the thing. I've thought, you know, in fleeting thoughts of doing that throughout the years. I'll be quite honest with you and transparent. When I was recognized around town for, you know, my video and the articles in the paper, people had asked me, they said, you know, we need someone like you. Would you consider running for mayor? And honestly, I'll have to say my answer now is no. I think I'm more effective on the outside. you know, I had an uncle that was in politics for 35 years as a legislator, as a mayor, and I just great guy. He was a really great guy. I miss him for our conversations on politics. But I'm, you know, let me sum it up this way. I liked Chris Gibson. Remember Chris Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what I liked
I
about
sure
Chris
did.
Gibson. Okay, I liked Chris Gibson because he was an established man. He fought for the country. He said, I'm going to go in, I'm going to do my best for two terms, and then I'm out. And he got out saying, because I'm not going to be corrupted by the system. That I admire. And that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there need to be term limits on all this stuff so we can try to get stuff done, and then you got to get new blood in there. But the long – sorry for that long answer, but no, I really don't at the moment have any desire to run for an office because I just feel – at least right now, Cynthia, I'll leave it at that. At least right now I say no because I believe right now I am more effective on the outside to draw awareness. So people – look, I like straight talk. I like that in my business life, and I love it in my personal life. And this city needs straight talk. We need to straight talk to the people, and especially the youth, so we're not setting up with lies. Stop lying to everyone. It's not fair. So I think keep an eye out for possible next series of videos, and how I want to try to help, you know, raise awareness to really truly bring the city back to a fine place where everyone can call home.
And of course, when you see something, I'd like to have you back on Focus on Albany, if that's okay.
Absolutely, Cynthia. I really do. I commend what you're doing. I know it's not easy. You've been at it for a while. I thank your audience for listening to me jibber jabber on. I would definitely keep you in mind and for sure be back on. I thank you for your invite, and I wish you continued success in your fight to bring Albany to back to the days of how you think it should be.
Thanks. So you've been listening to Greg Adela. Greg, give yourself a plug, what you do and where you do it.
Sure. Well, I'm in the entertainment business. I own an entertainment company. I also tour a comedy showcase called the Brouhaha Comedy Showcase for the last 12 years. I produce and host that. And I'll actually be in the Albany area. I have it coming into the Capital District on Saturday, August 11th to Saratoga Springs, New York. It's a comedy rock show, and my friends will be coming up from The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and Conan and Comedy Central. So all those details can be found by going to the BrouhahaComedyShowcase.com.
Great, Greg. Thank you so much. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Greg, thanks so much for being on the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day. Bye.